Now we turn to World Cup. Don't try to act like you don't care. Although if you have been an American fan of what's known as the beautiful game for a while, well, you might feel like a regular worshiper on a big holiday. Who are all these people in your seat? And if it seems as though something is different this year, well, the television ratings confirm it. Last weekend's U.S.-Portugal match drew 25 million viewers, more than this year's NBA Finals or last year's World Series. And yesterday's decisive match with Germany that allowed the U.S. to advance to the Group of 16, even though the U.S. lost. Well, let's just say we weren't watching any congressional hearings yesterday during that time. But that got us wondering, why now? And why did it take so long for the U.S. to catch World Cup fever? So we've called in a World Cup veteran to help us out. George Vesey is a longtime sports columnist for the New York Times, where he is now a contributor. He has been to 8 World Cups, and he's author of the new book, 8 World Cups, My Journey Through the Beauty and Dark Side of Soccer. And he is with us now. Welcome. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you very much.
So let's get some of the news out of the way. Germany beat the U.S. 1-0. Not unexpected since Germany is one of the world's top teams, but give us your analysis of how Team USA performed. And also, if you don't mind, explain how it is that even though the USA lost, they still got to advance.
Well, they play in a group. There are 4 teams in it. It was called the Group of Death. There is always a Group of Death in any World Cup. And it's a compliment in a way to be in the Group of Death because it means that you're a good team also. So while I short-sighted the American team in this World Cup, thinking they would finish 3rd or 4th, the fact is they had enough grit in Thursday's game to hold on. A 1-0 loss to Germany was enough to have them finish ahead of Portugal and Ghana, 2 teams that I thought would, frankly, finish ahead of them. So, as they say in soccer, a result, usually that means a draw or a victory. But in this case, the result is going through, and that's all that matters.
Now, I have to ask you just long-term about how you feel the American team's prospects are. I mean, how do you think that they'll finish overall?
You know, in this World Cup, it's very hard to say. They play Belgium next, and Belgium's a better team. It's a tough road. I don't think the U.S. is anywhere near ready. They once reached the quarterfinals in 2002 in a similar scenario, just barely getting past the first round. But I don't think they're ready to compete at a semifinal or finalist level. They don't have the genius. They don't have the talent. But you certainly could see in this World Cup, they have more skill than they had a couple of decades ago.
And I do want to ask you about that chomp felt around the world. Luis Suarez of Uruguay has been suspended for 4 months after he, do we need to say allegedly?
I mean, I don't think we need, as you see, he lowers his head, he sticks his choppers into the guy's shoulder, and then there are marks on Chiellini's shoulder. Not only that, but this is the 3rd time that Suarez has done this. He really has what I would call a psychological and medical problem, and although he has been suspended for 9 games, which means the rest of this World Cup also, it's more than that. If FIFA doesn't mandate that he gets some kind of serious medical and psychological help, he has no business being back on the field at any time.
Well, I wanted to raise this for people who are new to the game. Just assure us that this is not a customary thing.
Do you mean biting?
No. Yeah, biting, yeah.
They do dirty things. I've seen elbows that broke eye sockets. I've seen a German goalkeeper just level a French guy. His teammates thought he was dead lying on the ground. This was in 1982 at my first World Cup. But a bite is outside any kind of contact, collision, dirty, foul play. A bite is a bite.
Let's just go back a little bit and just talk about, you know, the sport as it's meant to be played. You were one of the first American sports columnists to cover soccer. And in fact, you actually played yourself. You don't probably mind my mentioning, not terribly well when you were
I mentioned it myself. In fact, I got a nice little award for the American Soccer Federation last year, and I got up there and I said, if you had ever seen me play fullback for Jamaica High School in the mid-1950s, I guarantee you would not even allow me up on this dais.
Talk a little bit more about what you actually like about it.
What I like about it is the creativity. When I watch good soccer players, the way they have to make a play out of nothing. The other night when the United States was playing Portugal and was in trouble during the match, their hard guy midfielder, Jermaine Jones, he worked his way around a screen, dribbled around 2 defenders, ball swerved, hooked inside the post, and scored a goal the U.S. desperately needed. And why did Jermaine Jones shoot that? Not a scorer. It came to him. He saw it. He created. I love that creativity.
We're talking with veteran New York Times sports columnist George Vesey. He's the author of the book 8 World Cups, because he's covered 8 World Cups, and we're talking to him about that. So you've got some interesting theories about why it is that soccer, to this point anyway, has not been a big deal in the United States, even though it's a very popular youth sport. What are some of your theories about why it is that soccer's been slow to catch on in this country?
Sure. The best and the brightest, the sports columnists around the country, I won't name names, but came up with these cockamamie theories that everybody knows that Americans only like sports in which you use your hands. Frankly, it doesn't mean anything. It's a way of covering up stick-in-the-mud mentality, lack of interest. And I think that's my generation. I mean, I'm an old guy. I'm mostly retired now. And they are, you know, at least in the professional sense, dying out. So I have no problem with saying that's passé. And frankly, they've been passé for 20 years.
Right, but hold on that second. You say in the book that soccer seemed to remind Americans of something they instinctively feared: foreign languages, foreign influences. What do you think that is?
Even some of my friends, my sports columnist friends who travel, who know the world, soccer bothered them. Did they equate soccer with, you know, what, mobs in the street, with riots? I couldn't even say. All I knew was I loved the nationalism. I loved being in Germany in 2006. To be there and see people daring, caring enough to fly their flag, to cheer, Deutschland, Deutschland. It was a wonderful thing to see them not being hesitant to show how patriotic they were.
You pointed out in the book, and I think as most people know who follow the sport at all, it's hugely popular among immigrants from, you know, Latin America, Africa, and other parts of the world where people grew up following the game. Do you think that whatever that was that kept people from appreciating the sport on the professional level, do you think that that kind of, that's been broken?
Look, this is the America that I live in. The other day, a guy got my car from a hotel in Philadelphia, and the guy's name was Mamadou. As I'm waiting for him to hand me the receipt, I said to him, "What's your team?" And he didn't tell me his nationality. He said, "Well, I always liked Brazil." But that's good enough for me. It's a flash of recognition. It's the humanity we share. And I think that the younger generation, first of all, they're familiar with the sport. They like the spectacle. They've adopted it as something they can do en masse with their time and their money. But there's also the broader sense that as younger people are more comfortable with people who are a little bit different. It's out there. They've been exposed to it. And now they're in their adult years. They have some money to spend. They're having a good time.
American football remains the most watched sport.
Of course.
On television. But there's increasingly some unhappiness about American football, just in terms of, you know, a lot of parents are concerned about concussions and health effects that they see. I just sort of wondered, do you think that soccer can move into a more preeminent place in our sports consciousness?
To some degree, I think that football has a real problem with the injuries when men who played professional football are saying they're not sure they would let their sons play. I'm not an evangelist for soccer. I would never tell somebody, give up your sport, either playing it or following it. I would never tell anybody to give up a hockey. The great sports we have here, basketball, lacrosse, rugby coming into its own. We've got so many great team sports, and I say hold on to it.
You've been to World Cups around the world, as we mentioned. Be honest, which country has, like, the best fans? If you weren't an American and you had to pick a country to be a soccer fan in, where would you go?
I don't think it's even close. The best fans in the world are in Brazil. I describe in the book my first adventure in Spain in beautiful Barcelona in 1982. I wander out of my hotel and I hear this sound, and there's a traveling troupe of 25 or 30 Brazilian people. The women were gorgeous. The men weren't bad either. The music, the horns, the guitars, and they're just walking through the Ramblas playing. But that translates into stadiums full of people. They are nice people, good fans. They love their team. And they don't have, that I know about, they don't have the ultras and the crazies and the locos and the hooligans like some nations we could mention.
So where are you going to be watching the rest of the matches?
Well, I want to say that I've because I'm not there and I'm not writing on deadline, when the Americans are playing, I have gone into seclusion to watch it because I need to take it all in. In other times I have watched in, would you believe that there are so many Belgians in New York City that I went to a place the other day where it was packed with Belgian people, including two giantesses carrying tridents and red horns on top of their head, which I'd like to think were not real. But it was quite a sight to be around all these people in the red jerseys. So I like being around when other teams are playing. You get a sense of it. But if I really want to watch, I want to be in a very small group.
Okay. George Vesey is a contributing sports columnist for The New York Times. He's author of the book 8 World Cups. He was with us from NPR New York. George Vesey, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you very much. Thanks for caring.